This is July 7th, 1998. Kelly Elaine Avies in the home of Mr. Herbert James White. It is July 7th, 1998. I repeat, it's July 7th, 1998. My name is Kelly Elaine Navies. I'm in the home of Mr. Herbert James Watts in Asheville, North Carolina. Mr. Watts, could you identify yourself?
I identify myself as, I guess, it's Herbert James Watts, black male, about 335 pounds. I'm a personality plus, a lover of people, and a motivator for youth.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Watts. Today we're going to talk about a variety of topics, but mainly we're going to talk about your experience as a graduate of Stevens Lee High School. But first I'll ask you a few questions about your early life. So where were you born?
I was born in Asheville, North Carolina, in Buncombe County.
Oh, and what year?
11-10-37.
Okay. How many children were in your family? How many brothers and sisters did you have?
There was six in the family, four girls and one brother. It was six of us.
Okay. And what grammar school did you attend?
I started out at Livingston Street Elementary School, went there first through the fifth, then from there I went to Hill Street Elementary School from sixth through the seventh, and then I started Stevens Lee in eighth grade.
Okay. What were your parents' occupations?
Well, be truthfully, my father died when I was 14 years of age, and I was the oldest of five children. Mm-hmm. And my mother was unemployed, so I more or less had the responsibility of raising my brothers and sisters. And I assumed the responsibility by my father worked at a department store, which was called Winner's Department Store. And when he deceased, they were nice enough to give me the job that my father had and let me go to school, paid me the same salary they paid my father to help support my sisters and brothers.
Mm. So from the age of 14 on, you took the head of the household?
Yes. One of the things that I do remember, father was going to the hospital in the ambulance, and I rode with him going to the hospital. And one thing he stated to me that stuck out in my mind, he said, "Son, so two things I want you to do is to finish high school and stay out of trouble." And those things, two things that stuck out in my mind, and I think those were one of the things that kept me straight in my life. And then after he passed away, I started playing football in the ninth grade in high school. And I think by participating in sports, that kept me in school and kept me motivated, kept me trying to get my grades so I could play football. It made me, that had a lot of influence on me graduating, I think. Mm-hmm. Had not been for sports, I don't even know why I finished high school or not.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what was it about sports, do you think, that kept you in school?
Well, I think it was something that it kind of made you feel like that you were, you were part of the school. It made you feel like that you were a complete boy, I guess. It made you feel like that you were a complete young man, you know. And as a result of playing sports, I was good enough to get basketball and football scholarship to attend Frederick State University. In fact, I had several offers, Johnson C. Smith to North Carolina Central and to Frederick State.
To play basketball?
To play basketball and football.
And football.
Yes.
Okay.
And I went to Frederick State on a football, full scholarship football and basketball. And I played 2 years there at football and basketball.
And then as I was reading in the newspaper article, you decided to leave after 2 years.
Yes, to come home to be very frank. I came home one Thanksgiving, and my mother was home, cold, no fuel, no food. And I went back to school after Thanksgiving and came back after Christmas. And I said I couldn't go back because I had to help my mother and support the family. And I got a full-time job then to help support my mother and my sisters and brothers.
What kind of job did you get?
I got a job I was working as a, at that time they call you a porter when you work at a department store, a custodian. And that was the type of work that I did. And I worked at the Winners department store for about 3 or 4 years. But my desire in life was always to work with youth. When I went to Frederick State, I attended because I wanted to be a physical ed teacher. Mm-hmm. But by not completing there, I still had a desire to work with youth. So at the time in 67 or 68, the Schenck Job Corps Center opened in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. And I applied for it. It was a federal job. I applied there and got on out there as a youth counselor in a cottage. And I worked there 2 years. And at the time, I noticed Ashford didn't have but 4 or 5 black officers, and they had one black juvenile officer. His name was Sergeant Fleming. And I know that they were going to need a juvenile officer. So I took the civil service test, and I passed the civil service test with about a 7 or 8, and I was hired as a patrol officer. And I went on the Ashford Police Department in December 1, 1967, as a patrol officer. And I patrolled for 3 years. But during the time I was doing patrolling, I started doing a lot of volunteer work in the school with the youth. I would take the police cruiser and go around to the different schools and go into the classrooms, and I would show the kids what a police officer badge was, show them a nightstick, the gun, bring them outside the school, show them what a siren or a raincoat was, and that's how my youth career began. And as a result of that, I was moved into the juvenile division with the Ashford Police Department. And when I went with the Ashford Police Department, one of my primary goals and objective was to make a sergeant in 10 years, because the first, it took 20 years before they promoted a black sergeant. So I made a sergeant, became a sergeant in 9 years with the Ashford Police Department. Mm.
So it sounds like you always had a very clear goal about what you wanted to do. You wanted to work with young people,
yes,
and then you wanted to make sergeant. What do you think, what about your childhood instilled such a clear idea about what you wanted to do when you grew up?
I think what is still me in my childhood, I know that when my father died and it left us a large family, and one of Hillary Clinton's statements was, it takes a village to raise a child. Back then, it was a village of people who supported my family. I know at this department store, they took up money every week and bought my family groceries because my mother was not eligible for Social Security. And I think that kind of instilled in me to want to help others who were less fortunate than I. And that's how I started wanting to give back to the community.
So when you left Fayetteville Teachers College, did you ever regret making that decision?
I regretted it. In one sense, I always feel like that I would have liked to have had a degree, but I feel like a degree always carries a little more clout, but I feel like that I have been just as successful, more successful than a lot of people who I've known that have gotten degrees.
So when you returned from Fayetteville, how many of your brothers and sisters were still at home?
All of them, because I was the oldest. At that time I was 19 or 20.
Oh, and they were all still
home? Yes, I was the oldest of the five at that time.
I see.
Yes.
So did they all go on to go to Stevens Lee High School as well?
They all finished high school, and I had an influence over each one of my sisters and brothers. They all are career persons. I had one brother who graduated, and when he finished high school here, I told him not to stay around here because there was no future. And he went in to the Air Force the same year I went on the police department, and he retired from the Air Force with 25 years. I had one sister who was
there. Where did he end up
living? I'm sorry. He lives in Dover, Delaware now. He retired from the Air Force. I had one sister who was working as a clerk in a department store, in a Grant department store. And I was a patrol downtown. And I went into one of the banks and told the branch manager, I said, I have a sister that's very smart. I wish you would give her a break. And he said, put an application in. I got an application and carried it to her. And at that time, it was the Bank of Asheville. It's today is the name of it is Nations Bank.
Mm.
And she has been with the bank there 26 years.
Wow.
Yes. I have another sister who I got a job at the police department. She works in the record room, and she's been there 24 years.
Really helped him out a lot.
Yes.
Well, let me back up a little bit and build up to the years
sure.
Just before you entered high school. You talked about going to Livingston.
Yeah, Livingston.
Livingston Elementary and also Hill Street School. Did you feel after going to those schools that you were prepared for high school?
I felt that I was prepared to go, but I felt like that I wasted a lot of my time in elementary school, and I feel like I should have applied myself better. The teachers, I think, put the work through you, but I guess a part of maturing, you don't apply yourself as much as you should have. I think my father had a lot of influence over me. I think I probably would have been a lot better student if I would have had somebody even to bear down on me more. So, you know, I hope you don't mind me expressing this. I never will forget when I was in the eighth grade, I had a teacher named Miss Russell. And I was at that age, I guess, when boys are very mischievous and always like to pick the girls. And this teacher, she had hair about that long, and I just didn't like her, and I guess she didn't like me. And I never will forget, she said one statement to me. She said, Herbert Watts, she said, nigga, time you get in the 10th grade, you're going to be on the chain gang.
She said that to you?
She said that to me.
Black teacher.
Yeah. Huh. And that really hurt my feelings. I carried it against her the whole time I was in school. And when I finished high school, I went to this teacher I said, "Miss Russell, here's my diploma." And she stated to me, "Heber Watts, I was trying to say something to make you act like you had some sense, you know." And then that's when it all started falling in place, you know. You know. And these were the kind of teachers that you had involved that cared, which made a difference. Even back then in elementary school, if a teacher says, "I'm going to call you mama, I'm going to call you daddy, here, but watch, you didn't bring your homework in," you'd be scared to death to go home because you figured you wouldn't get a whooping.
This is all through elementary. Were you looking forward to going to Stevens Lee High School when you got out of eighth grade?
I was looking forward to going to school. I had no intentions of really wanting to drop out. The things that I regret not doing in high school. At that time, I felt like I wanted to take typing. I wanted to take music lessons. I wanted to be in a band. And at that time, you know, they used to kid you in school. If you were in a band or if you took typing, that you were a girl or you were a sissy, you know. And so I shied away from that, not really having nobody to kind of. So I guess this is why I hung with football and basketball. But then after I went off to college and I went to special, a lot of kids from up north and down the east, they could type and they could do all those things. And I didn't allow myself a chance to do that.
But you were pretty busy in high school. You were working at the department store and playing football.
Very much so.
Right, and you still kept up with your studies.
Yes.
So can you give me an idea of the type of curriculum that you had there? What kind of classes that you took at Stevens?
Oh, well, at that time, it was mandatory that you had to have Algebra 1, Algebra 2. They had what you call English literature. You had to pass that. And I think that was if I can recall, it was a lot about Macbeth, something like that, you know. Yes, you know. And you had to have biology. You know, these are certain requirement courses that you had to take, you know. Chemistry, I didn't do any good in chemistry. You know, I took it, but, you know, I didn't do any good in it. But things that I had to do, I had to buckle down to do it, I did.
I was a little concerned. Needle here.
Sure.
Only one is moving, and I'm wondering. But in a minute, I'll check that out and see what's going on with that. Only the right one seems to be moving. But actually, you know what? I think that's okay. Okay, we'll continue. So you were telling me about the Stevens Lee curriculum. I'm curious. Did you read any black authors when you were in high school?
You know, I don't think so. I think I know they talked about black authors and talked about great black people, Booker T. Washington and several others, but I can't remember of any.
Who would talk about that, like in what class?
Teachers always had a way of expressing about Booker T. Washington. I can't think of others. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you get that idea that in segregated schools sometimes, I mean, it could be any class.
Yeah.
They would pull in.
Yeah, true.
Very
much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
Okay. You entered Stevens Lee in 1952?
52. 56, yeah.
So you were there in 1954 when the Brown versus the Board of Education ruling came down.
Yes.
Do you remember that? The ruling that ended segregation?
I remember Brown versus Board of Education. I may not really understood the
significance,
the whole lot of it.
Did you guys talk about it in class at all?
I can't remember. I can't say truthfully that.
Okay. Okay. Well, did you think, for example, did you have any idea that eventually Stevens Lee would be closed down because of the end of segregation?
No, I didn't. I know we started our own integration, race relation activities in the city. The basketball team and Asheville High, at that time it was Lee Edwards High, had a basketball team, and they were like 18-2. And Asheville, Stevens Lee had a basketball team, maybe like 19-2 or 19-1. And so we didn't play each other. We were segregated. But on Saturday mornings, some kind of way we got together, the white versus black in the gym. We always meet at the white gym to see who was who, you know.
You play against
play, yes.
Who would win?
You know, we would win. We would win.
So you guys were making steps.
You know, it was just on a friendly, open, you know, the city or the school board, and it had nothing to do with it. It was just, we became friends that way, you know.
So the players decided, or the coaches?
The players, just among them, just
really,
city
just players.
Yeah,
you guys took that initiative.
Yeah,
on.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, huh?
But the thing that I never forget when I was on, just kind of maybe getting ahead of myself, but when I was on the city council in 95, I went to the National Black Caucus Convention down in Winston-Salem. And I don't know, some kind of way, Jesse Jackson was there, and he was the keynote speaker. And some kind of way, he knew I was there. And he made a statement, you know, I'm very happy to see Councilman Watts here from Asheville. He said, because I never will forget Sterling High playing Asheville High. And when we used to go to the mountains, we would have to park our bus at the foot of the hill and walk up to the school to put our uniforms on. And then we would put our uniforms on, and then get back to the bus, and then carry back to the stadium. They would always beat us. He said, for the simple reason, they done tired us out by us walking up to the hill, you know, and the people really come down, you know.
That's pretty funny. So
you
played against Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Well, let me back up a bit. We're talking about being in a segregated school. That's a funny story, though. But let me ask you this: while you were at Stevens Lee, did you ever feel that you were in an inferior situation because you were in a segregated school?
Yes. You didn't know this until it took place, but. But, you know, and one of the things that you feel very inferior about was if you played sports, the school would give you a letter with S on it, which means that you have earned that list, that S, which stands for, means that you're in a varsity club. The other school, the white school, those guys had leather jackets, maroon and black leather jackets with their name on them. And what happened was that they had a dad's club, which was called the Booster Club. And the Booster Club sponsored the things for the athletes, where our school would just only, we were able just to get a letter, you know. And we would have to buy our own sweater
to put a letter on,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that you feel real inferior about.
And from what I understand also from talking to Mr. Parrish that the uniforms were hand-me-downs from the other.
Yes, very much so. And then one of the young ladies who was, after she finished high school, I never forget talking to her, and she started working down at Ashford High, I think as an English teacher. And she started working on their yearbook, and the students working on their yearbook. And come find out that the students and the people who worked on the yearbook at Ashford High, Lee Edwards High at that time, they got paid for working, putting their yearbook together. But at our school, people worked to put it together, but it wasn't no funds involved. It was all voluntary, you know.
Right, right.
You know.
So do you think, so obviously it wasn't equal. There wasn't an equal situation.
Oh, no, not at all.
So do you think that segregation would have been okay if it had been equal, or do you think that integration should have been the goal all along?
Personally, I think that segregation, I think we had more pride, we had more control. Integration, we lost a lot of our identity. Just so happened in 1970-71,
okay, we had a slight interruption with the telephone ringing, but we will resume where we left off, and you were saying that in 1970-71.
Yeah, I had just been on the police department for 2 or 3 years, and this is when they integrated the high school, and they were changing the name from Lee Edwards to Ashford High, and at that time, I don't know whether the whites were upset because they were changing, taking the name Lee Edwards and put Ashford High on it. But I do recall this is when we had a race riot in the school.
That year?
Yeah, in the 70s. And I was one of the officers in the middle of the race riot. In fact, it was black versus white, black versus the police department, and I was one of the few black officers who really got involved. And I never will forget, I was in the middle of trying to disperse a group in front of Ashford High at the time, and somebody came from behind and pushed me, did something to me, and I fell over a black female. And the word was out. I guess I was probably the most hated cop in the black community because the word was out. What, Daddy? Hit that black girl. Did you hear what? What, Daddy? Jump on that black girl. That's all the people could see, you know. So I had to overcome that image. You know, and knowing I was there sincerely, but so happened, I overcome it by being assigned to the high schools. I was signed, they had to sign officers to the high school to keep disturbance down. And I worked the halls, and I worked the kids, and I built their confidence up. And I built up where the parents would call me. Something would happen, and if I would tell the parents, they would say it's gospel. Why Daddy said so-and-so, so-and-so. And I think the reason how the riot really started, in fact, that one of the guys, fellas, I never forget his name, was Leo Gaines.
Black?
Yeah, you might want to talk to him. He'd be a very interesting person to talk to. Very interested.
Leo Gaines.
He works out at the juvenile center now as a social worker, a counselor. But he was one of the first blacks. He went to school, I think the school without wearing socks, and the teacher was going to put him out of school because he didn't have no socks on or something.
And put
that,
him out for the day.
They were going to kick him out of school because, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he would be an interesting person to talk to.
They were going to put him out of school for
that. That's right,
socks.
Yeah. And seemed like that's what really got all the other attention. That really what got the riot started in the schools. You know. And it was a very frightening, very hard experience, man, for a long time, especially.
How long did they go on?
That went on for, it really tore the city up for almost a year.
About a year.
And then
I think I read something
They started, they had curfews and this type of thing. And so what happened, I went to Charleston, West Virginia to visit a brother-in-law. And I met a black officer in Charleston, West Virginia, who had a police camp in West Virginia. I came back to Asheville. I came back to the police department. I went to a chief by the name of Chief Jarvis. I said, "Chief, why can't we have a police camp? Why can't we start a police camp?" He said, "Well, big man, that sounds like a good idea. Let's see what we can do." And as a result of that, we got the Fraternal Order Police to sponsor the police camp. And what we did was we advertised the police camp. We put applications in the police cruisers. And the officers carried them around, and kids could stop a cop, and would give them an application. And as a result of that, we started averaging about 100 kids a week. We averaged about 500 kids a summer, and we had black and white kids. We had white community from the Oakland Fairview area calling the police department. Says, "I want my kids to go to camp. I want my kids to, this is the first time they will get a chance to be around some black kids." And as a result of that, we had a tremendous, we averaged about 500 kids a summer.
What were the age groups?
Oh, they started 6 years old, 5 to 6 years old. And we had pick them up, some would pick them up at the police department. We'd pick a group up in West Asheville and different partners. We would pick them up, carry them out all day, bring them back in the camp.
5 or 6 years old, up until?
Till 14 and 15.
All together?
Yeah, yes, all together. And as a result of that, and what we did at the time, they had opportunity cooperation was going on, and they had the youth summer program where they hired kids, and we hired our kids through the opportunity cooperation as counselors. And as a result of that, man, we...
How long did that go on?
That went on for 7 or 8 years. And then what happened was it got so good until you had a whole new group of young officers, white officers, to come in, and they were saying, "Hey, that camp is too black." And so what happened, they start cutting the funds back, you know. So they start finding all kind of excuses to not have the camp.
The camp doesn't exist anymore.
No. But as a result of that, I can sit here and name about 8 or 9 guys who came through police camp that are police officers now. You know, got 2 black guys, two of them are over in Hendersonville, Lieutenant Andre Massey, who was going to drop out of school in the 8th grade. And we encouraged him we hired him out there and made him a youth counselor. He went on to Asheville High, got on the wrestling team, got a full scholarship of wrestling. He went on to finish Appalachian State, got a degree in criminology. And he wouldn't come to Asheville Police Department because he felt like it wasn't no chance for him to advance.
Hmm.
So So now he's a lieutenant over there in Hendersonville.
So it sounds like, I mean, you really have a hands-on approach to getting into the community and making things happen.
Yeah, true.
Can you trace that directly to your experience at Stevens Lee?
I still think that goes back to, I think it has a lot to do with my childhood and people helping me. And just want to get involved, you know. Stephen Lee, like I say, is the root of my life. And if it hadn't been for Stephen Lee, I don't know where I would be today, or what would have happened to me today.
What was your most cherished memory about being at Stephen's Lee?
My cherished memory was three things. Getting my high school diploma, taking a young lady to the junior senior prom, and being inducted to the varsity club.
Who did you take to the junior senior prom?
The first lady that I think I'd taken to the dance was named Elizabeth Roddy, who she's deceased now, but she went on to finish school. She became a teacher, English teacher, very outstanding teacher. Yeah. And that was in 1954, I think.
You didn't mention the second person.
And the second person, I think, was Ophelia Woodside. She was a classmate.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you were in town in 1965 when the school closed.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and where you were and what you thought about what was going on at that time?
Well, I think I had a very disappointed feeling when they were saying, well, we're going to close it. Well, it happened so quick when they said, well, we're going to tear Stephen Lee down. Nobody didn't believe it because they did it just like that, boom, 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 you know.
But right now, before we talk about the tearing it down, that was in 1975.
Uh-huh.
Just the closing in
1960. Uh-huh, the closing.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happened when they closed it, and they said, well, we're going to integrate school. We're going to have one high school. I think at that time it was kind of disappointing. It was kind of like a disbelief. I couldn't believe they closed the high school. Why they closed the high school, you know? And I do remember that part, that much of it, but I can't elaborate a whole lot.
I understand that I was reading some papers today that Jesse Ray tried to speak out against the closing.
Yes.
You know about that?
Seemed like so, yeah. He was always been involved in the... he always was an advocate for our community.
Okay. Who were your close friends when you were at Stevens Lee? What was your social group?
I had a Doug Thompson, who I played football with, who lives in Ohio now. A Wilbur Lytle.
The one whose picture I saw.
Yes. Gene Hammonds, who's coach at Ashford High now, football coach at Ashford High, went to Shaw University. There was a John Buggs.
B-U-G-G.
John Buggs, yeah. And it was a Clayton Ware.
How does he spell his last name?
W-A-R-E. Okay. These were just some of the, you know.
So I'm going to ask some questions about some things that might not have been so good. At Stevens Lee. Do you think that color was an issue at all? It's something that it comes up a lot when you talk, you know, about the black people.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of thing. Color issues.
You're talking about at the school? Just... Well, let me say this. I do remember this distinctly. In our own school, in our own race, if you were, say, as far as the band is concerned, as far as the major race is concerned, you had to be a certain color. If you were light-skinned, you made that band. But if you were black, it was you wasn't one of the people that were out there. So we did a lot of segregating among ourselves, you know.
Did that also affect the way teachers treated students?
Yeah, I think so. Some, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting. Also, what about class issues? Were there class issues at the school?
Classes
in economic class. Did some students in a certain class hang out together? I mean, was there even a sense?
Let me say this. In this town, one of the things that were is always exists then and it exists now, but not maybe more so then than now, was you had a group of kids from the north side. They were your influent kids. You know, those were your elites. Then you had a group of kids from east end. They hung together. Then you had the south side group, you know. And then you had a group from Hill Street. Then you had a group from where I came up from, which was called Stumptown. That was the poorest section of town, Dirt Street. Nobody even knew where it was, you know.
So you came up from Stumptown?
Yeah.
Stumptown.
Yeah.
It's a historic area.
Yeah. So we,
so. So you hung out with your neighborhood.
Yes. Hmm. You know, and that's where we were. And in fact, we even just like, far as, like we would organize South Side versus Stumptown, North Side versus East End, like especially during basketball season, we would have basketball teams, you know. It was very, very competitive among ourselves, you know.
That's interesting.
You know.
Tell me about Stumptown. What was that like?
Well, Stumptown was a little dirt street. About 100 people in the community, but a very proud group of blacks in the neighborhood, and all the blacks over that neighborhood, nobody drank, nobody smoked, and they all turned out to be very prominent people in the neighborhood over there. For an example, like David Jones, who is our executive director of housing. He was from Stumptown. His wife named Barbara. She's an anthologist, whatever people do when they put to sleep, you know. This guy, Clayton Ware, retired from the service. Yeah, John Jones retired from it. All those people are pretty prominent.
So
pretty
you grew prominent. Up with Clayton.
Yeah, yes.
Were there businesses in Stumptown?
No. Just a little dirt road.
So
had two little churches over there, maybe, you know.
So you had to go out of your neighborhood?
Yeah, you had to walk, yes.
To Eagle Street?
Yeah, yes.
Is it walking distance to Eagle Street?
Oh, well, at that time, you could 5 or 6 miles, you know. You do that in the snow, go to school and everything.
How did you get to school?
Walk.
You walked?
Oh, yeah.
And how far was that?
It was 4 or 5 miles. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Okay. How did you get the name White Daddy?
Well, it's amazing. I was in the 5th or 6th grade, and a fellow named Skeet Mosley, and we both called ourselves liking the same girl in the 6th grade. Mm-hmm. And I never forget, I always was a giving person. I bought this girl a Baby Ruth. And I carried the baby Ruth to school and gave her the baby Ruth. And it seemed like after school, we got in a fight. And I was bow-legged, and as a result, they were calling me Wild Daddy. And as I was that Wild Daddy, the word that came out, Wat Daddy. And so they started calling me.
So you had that since
sixth grade. Yes.
And
yeah.
I noticed it's on the sign for the park.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody knows me about, you know?
Yeah. Wattle Daddy became Wat Daddy.
Yes.
That's something else. This tape is about to end, and I'm going to turn it over and start on the other side. Okay?
All right.